join the boycott. Crews working in the Santa Fe National Forest in New Mexico have cut down this year's Capitol Christmas tree. It's an 80-foot New Mexico Engelmann spruce. The tree will now be prepped for its trip to Washington, D.C. That should take 3 or 4 days. It's due in the nation's capital November 22nd. More news at usaradio.com. Dennis Martin reporting. USA Radio Network News.
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in anyway.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today is Election Day, November 8th, 2005. Did you go to the polls? Are you watching TV trying to find out who won? Or did you not even know there was an Election Day today? Well, the main years, of course, are the presidential years, where every 4 years, every American knows there's an election. And the second most important election years, obviously, are what they call the off years, every 2 years in between the presidential year, where we have very important elections. The next, of course, are coming in November 2006, and hopefully the Democrats can take back the Congress. So what are we to make of election year 2005, which happened today, and off year, as it were? Well, a lot of people, frankly, don't even know there's an election going on. But what I want to argue this hour is that these elections, the ones that are happening today, the ones we won't find out about until late tonight, are very important to national politics. The off years are often a precursor to what happens in the future. There are statewide elections today in Virginia and New Jersey. The Virginia polls have just closed. In New Jersey, they close in an hour. If you're listening in New Jersey and you haven't voted, what are you doing listening here? Get out and go vote. Hey, I don't often tell you not to listen. So only for you New Jersey listeners. The rest of you do have time. Out in California, of course, there are propositions put out by the newly unpopular governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it seems that the main things that we're discussing in proposition are gerrymandering and gay rights. They're gerrymandering propositions in Ohio, in California, and in Texas and Maine, they're discussing gay rights. And overall, the question becomes, what should we do about making votes easier to get or harder to get? In Georgia, I want to talk this hour about a legislative decision to make it harder for people to vote. Republicans seem to always want to make it harder for people to vote, and Democrats seem to want to make it easier for people to vote. And what is the difference? I mean, why does it matter? How should we protect against fraud and at the same time allow people to vote? The one thing I think that is clear, whether it's Virginia or New Jersey or California or anywhere else this election season, is that negative ads and dirty tricks have run the day. In Washington, just across the river, is Virginia, so we've been watching the elections closely in Northern Virginia, and dirty tricks abound. The governors that are running, the gubernatorial candidates, are Kilgore and Kane. Kilgore, the Republican candidate, has actually brought Adolf Hitler into the campaign. You see, Tim Kaine, the Democratic candidate, is Catholic and is against the death penalty personally, though he says that he will apply it because it is the law in Virginia. So Jerry Kilgore ran an ad saying that, well, if Hitler were up for the death penalty, Kaine wouldn't support it. Let me give some advice to Jerry Kilgore. If you have to bring up Adolf Hitler, you're probably losing the campaign. But it's more than these kinds of negative ads. We saw it in New Jersey, actually, where you had Forrester running against Corzine, Forrester's Republican candidate. And Forrester actually went and found Corzine's ex-wife to say nasty things about him. Can you imagine, all of you out there that have ex-wives and ex-husbands, if they were your spokesperson on national TV? But the tricks are getting dirtier, and they're right out of Karl Rove's playbook. In fact, the same people doing them in Virginia and New Jersey studied at the feet of Lee Atwater, of Karl Rove. I myself got a phone call just yesterday for the Virginia election race by a group that talked about the National Abortion Rights Action League not supporting the Democratic candidate, that he wasn't pro-choice enough. Well, turns out that the NARAL group, the abortion group, hadn't sponsored the ad. No, it was sponsored by the anti-choice Republican Jerry Kilgore. So let's be clear what happened here. You've got a guy who wants to ban all abortions, telling people who are pro-choice that the Democrat isn't pro-choice enough. And that's the kind of stuff that went on again and again and again in this election campaign. People pretended to be other people. And it was all sponsored by a group called Virginians for Honest Government. Guess who they're connected to? The Republican Governors Association. The same people that brought you the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, otherwise known as the Swift Boat Liars. What does this all have in common? What it has in common is that politics are getting dirtier and dirtier. And the parties are getting dirtier and dirtier. And I have to say, the Republicans are leading the way. Karl Rove has shown that negative ads work. In the New Jersey race, I still think that the Democrat, Corzine, is going to win. But he was way, way ahead in the polls until they started slinging the mud. And that brought him down further and further. So what's interesting is that voters claim to want positive advertising. They claim not to want this kind of nasty stuff. But we get it again and again and again. And the reason for that, folks, is because it works. That's why we get it, because it works. And what's going on in California could have even more national implications. When we come back, I want to talk about the propositions that Governor Schwarzenegger wants people to pass, specifically Proposition 77, which would redistrict the California lines, the ones that choose House seats. Now, there's an opposite proposition going on right now in Ohio. Why does this matter? All of the state politics and machinations matter because it would decide who controls the Congress in November 2006. If you want to call in and comment on the state of your local election or on any of these issues, just give us a call. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop right here on the TalkStar Radio Network. Did you go out and vote today? There are statewide campaigns in New Jersey and Virginia. There are mayoral contests in New York, Atlanta, Detroit, Boston. San Diego, in fact, has a mayoral election today. But a lot of people really aren't following the election. It's not even the off year, right? It's the off-off year. Why do these elections matter? Let me tell you why. Sitting here in Washington, D.C., of course, we're just across the river from Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia is a large part of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and in fact is about a third of the population, the entire population of the state of Virginia. Washington, D.C. is growing very fast. And in Virginia, you have a traditionally Republican state. Virginia hasn't voted for a Democratic candidate since Lyndon Johnson in 1964 at the presidential level. So what's going on right here in Virginia? You've got two candidates. They're very close. You've got the Republican, former Attorney General Jerry Kilgore, the Democrat, former Lieutenant Governor Tim Kaine, and they're running neck and neck. Well, that in and of itself is unusual. After all, Virginia generally votes Republican by about a 9% margin. But I think that the best way to see how voters are looking at the race is to look at who the main governor candidates brought in to bring their support. Tim Kaine brought in the very popular Democratic governor, Mark Warner of Virginia. Mark Warner was known, guess what, folks, for raising taxes and yet has more than a 70% popularity rating in Virginia. How can that be? Well, the prior governor, the Republican governor, had put the state on such bad fiscal level. In other words, the deficit was so high that Virginia couldn't even get its bonds out there. No one would lend money to the state of Virginia because they were cutting its bond rating. Virginia was doing, at a small level, exactly what the nation is doing now, spending beyond its means. And when the Democrat came in, Mark Warner, and actually balanced the budget, even by raising taxes, he has more than 70% support today. He's a very popular governor, and he's the guy behind the Tim Kaine campaign. Who did Jerry Kilgore bring in? Well, he brought in President Bush. He reached across the Potomac River, brought in President Bush from Washington. And so Virginians are saying, do you want Virginia run like the governor, Mark Warner? Or do you want it run like the president, George Bush? And George Bush is not doing well in the comparison. Now, it's going to be a very close race. As I said, Virginia is a very traditionally Republican state. So Jerry Kilgore, the Republican candidate, may just eke it out. But if the Democrat wins Tim Kaine, Washington will be all aflutter that this is the beginning, this is the precursor to next year, 2006, when the Democrats, I expect, will win some seats back in Congress. In California, you've got another Republican governor that's having a hard time. He's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, the guy who won in a landslide victory in the recall election just a couple years ago. But he's lost his popularity because he, like you might argue, our current president, ran from the middle and is governing from the right. Now, he's not on the ballot, but he's got four propositions that are. Some are not that controversial. For example, the idea that public school teachers have to wait 5 years for getting tenure. That may be one that he gets. But the others are very interesting because, again, they show national things that the Republican Party is doing. One is to make workers in unions, to not let unions be able to give to political campaigns unless the workers consent in that union. Now, you might say, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, people should consent before they give to political campaigns. The problem is Republicans want to restrict it to unions alone. Now, think about that. Corporations give money all the time. to political candidates. I mean, they practically own the Republican Congress. You know about Enron. You know about all the money pharmaceutical companies gave to get the Medicare bill done, right? You know that. And they don't ask their shareholders, not a bit. I would love it if when I invest in a company just to, you know, make some money in the stock market, if I could say, hey, you know what? I don't want you giving money to George Bush, but you don't get a chance to do that. No, they only wanted to allow it to happen in unions because, of course, unions support the Democratic Party. And what we see in these propositions, and indeed in all the Republican proposals like this, is fancy rhetoric. Oh, you should decide where your money goes. But you find a distorted way of applying that rhetoric. And nowhere is that more clear than in redistricting, in gerrymandering. Now, do you know what gerrymanders are? Gerrymander comes from the former Massachusetts governor, Elbridge Gerry, back in the early 1800s, who designed a legislative district in such a weird way that it looked like a salamander, and so thus gave birth to the name gerrymander, which is to design and to draw legislative districts in ways that give your parties massive advantages. Now, I am not a big fan of the gerrymander, particularly because the Republicans, frankly, have done so much of a better job of it than the Democrats. The Republicans have completely gerrymandered states like Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania. They're not the only states, but those are the biggest ones. But they have actually drawn districts in a way that they can lose the election, actually have less votes than the Democrats, and still get more seats. It's the ultimate in things that are undemocratic. And when we come back, I want to explain to you exactly what their margin is and how we can undo it, because it may surprise you to find out that these propositions in California and Ohio that would undo redistricting, particularly in California, I don't support. So it's kind of weird. It's like I tell you I'm against gerrymandering, but I can't support what Schwarzenegger wants to do in California, which is to give it to retired judges. What's wrong with that? The problem is that a statewide solution actually hurts a nationwide solution. And I'll explain that and also take your calls at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com right after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure. Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
When you're weary.
In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
Over troubled water, I will lay me down.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop right here on the Talk Star Radio Network. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. It is Election Day 2005, and even though, well, not a single House seat or Senate seat in Congress is chosen today, the actions that are taken today, particularly in California and Ohio, could change the makeup of Congress. And it's all done through that very complex thing called redistricting lines. Here's how it works. When you have people in the House, obviously, the Senate, as you know, there's two senators for every state. That's the same whether it's a tiny state or a big state. But for the House of Representatives, the bigger states have more representatives than the smaller states. That's to make sure that, you know, every sort of population group gets an equal number of representatives in the House. But the trick comes is to where you draw those lines. Do you draw the state basically into sort of natural boundaries, maybe where counties are? Or do you draw the state in ways that help a certain party to get elected? Well, let's see if this answers the question. What percentage of people in the House of Representatives won re-election last year? What percentage of incumbents, people who already were there, got re-elected? Answer, 98%. Virtually everyone. In fact, the irony is that the Senate, this entire statewide election, has become more competitive. There are more Senate seats changing. Only 100 Senate seats, folks. There are more Senate seats changing than House seats from year to year. And that's all because of the way district lines are drawn. Instead of people choosing the politicians choose their voters. And they pick the voters they want. And you, well, you're just a pawn. You're just a cog in the wheel, just a pawn in the machine. You don't really get a choice in the matter. So obviously, I'm not a big fan of gerrymandering. And yet when it comes to, for example, Proposition 77 in California, where Arnold Schwarzenegger would give the process to retired judges, I say, you got to vote no. And you folks in California who haven't decided yet, if there are any of you left, there's still time to vote. Listen, and let me tell you why I have to say no. The reason is because, well, they've already got us beat. The Republicans have already gerrymandered the heck out of state after state after state. Pennsylvania, Colorado, Florida, Texas. Florida is a classic example. Florida has 25 seats. Now, you know Florida's close, right? There's no question about that. If you watch the 2000 election, that's a state's about 50-50 Democrats and Republicans. Of the 25 seats in Florida, 18 belong to the Republicans, 7 to the Democrats. They have a 3-to-1 advantage in a state that's 50-50. Now, if the lines were fairly drawn, obviously you'd expect that the delegation in the House would be evenly split. In fact, Florida alone would bring the parties almost to parity, throw in Pennsylvania and Texas, give them fair election, and guess what? The Democrats have a majority in the House of Representatives. But it's all about drawing these district lines. You see, in 2000, this to me is the clearest way of measuring the problems from gerrymandering. In 2000, as you know, Gore beat Bush. Gore got more popular votes than Bush. So you would think that he would also win more congressional districts. After all, the whole point of the congressional district is to represent America. Well, he didn't. He won about 42%. The Republicans won 57%. Even though Gore beat Bush nationwide, he only got 42% of congressional districts. How is that possible? Well, in the Democratic districts, he would win 80-20, 90-10, because the Republicans have grouped all the Democrats in tiny boundaries. They'll grab a black neighborhood, and then they'll go out, for example, in Florida to the ocean for hundreds of miles, go back, grab another black neighborhood. So you have a district that's about 99% black, and they vote 99% Democratic. And then what's left in the state is, you know, 60-40 Republicans, and they divide the districts up accordingly. You see, by drawing the lines, you can actually steal seats. And the Republicans have 15% more seats, 57 to 42, 15% more seats than they deserve. That's a total of 65 undeserved seats in the House. Well, their margin is only about 15 to 20. In other words, the Democrats should have controlled Congress a long time ago, but they don't because of these district lines. So why don't I support Arnold Schwarzenegger's proposal to let judges do it? Because we're already behind. It's kind of like if you're in a fight, right? And they tie up your arms, and they tie up your legs, and then they say, no biting. Well, I don't support biting. But if we don't have any legs, we don't have any arms, how are we going to fight? The solution, my friends, is to say that this has to be done nationwide. I would support a proposal in any state that says, we will allow elected judges to do it, or retired judges, even better, to do the districting lines as soon as Texas and Florida and Pennsylvania follow suit. then I would support that proposal in California. But I don't support unilateral withdrawal, unilateral retreat. In Ohio, in fact, there's the exact same thing on the ballot, and I do support it because Ohio is gerrymandered to the Republicans. You know Ohio is a close state, and yet two-thirds of its representatives are Republican. If you believe in democracy, my friends, you know, I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. If you believe in democracy, you got to stop this gerrymandering. That's one reason why today's elections matter. Toll free, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. A high school administrator in Tennessee was shot and killed today, apparently by a student. Two other administrators were also shot. They are hospitalized tonight. Student has been arrested. There was a heated debate during today's White House briefing over whether the CIA wants exemptions so it can torture some timorous detainees. Congress may launch a probe into the source of a newspaper's report about a secret system of CIA prisons around the globe. Another defense lawyer involved in Saddam Hussein's trial has been murdered in Iraq. He's the second defense lawyer at Saddam's trial to be killed in less than 3 weeks. Stocks lost some ground today. The Dow closed down 46 points at 10,540. NASDAQ was down 6 points to 2172, while the S&P 500 dropped 4 to 1218. And the governor of Alabama is calling on the residents of his state to boycott Aruba, objecting to the lack of solving the disappearance of Alabama teenager Natalie Holloway. USARadio.com.
November is National Family Caregivers Month, and surveys show that a quarter of Americans are caring for an aging loved one. Add in children, jobs, and spouses, and you have stress that may wreak havoc on a caregiver's health, marriage, and family. Television personality Lisa Gibbons has been blessed and stressed with the care of her mother, who is battling Alzheimer's disease. That's why the Lisa Gibbons Memory Foundation is partnering with Home Instead Senior Care, the world's largest provider of non-medical home care for aging adults, to urge caregivers to take time for themselves.
When my mother was first diagnosed, we relied on Home Instead Senior Care. They took care of Mom with such dignity and great respect, and that just meant the world to me and my family. They handled the details so we could spend time together, recalling those things that I knew would soon be gone.
How stressed are you? The elder care experts at Home Instead Senior Care have created an online caregiver stress assessment tool at www.caregiverstress.com. You can also find resources, helpful tips, and articles. Visit caregiverstress.com.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Suicide is an important cause of death among adults in the United States. Those who have attempted suicide are at high risk for another potentially successful suicide attempt. But it has not been clear how best to treat these people. A study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association shows that cognitive behavior therapy is better than usual care at alleviating depression and hopelessness. Patients who had already made one suicide attempt were randomly assigned to receive either cognitive therapy or regular follow-up in addition to usual care. Therapy addressed thoughts and beliefs associated with the previous attempt and helped the participant find more adaptive ways of coping. Those in the cognitive therapy group were only half as likely to attempt suicide over the next year as those in the usual care group. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Today is Election Day 2005, an off-year election. But it's an election with national implications. The president's approval rating is in the toilet. It ranges between 35 and 39%. And even in a solidly Republican state like Virginia, the Republican candidate may not eke it out. In New Jersey, despite an extremely dirty race, the Democrat is elected to win. And, of course, there are the propositions in California. Now, what does this matter to you if you're living in Missouri or South Carolina or any of the other states that didn't have an election today? Well, the reason is because district lines in California affect whether Vice President Cheney is investigated for treason. And that sounds convoluted. But let me explain why. You see, if you want to find out what happened in Traitorgate, if you want to find out how the Bush administration manipulated lies to get us into war in Iraq, If you want to do any investigations in Congress, you got to have Congress investigating the president. And the current Congress, controlled by the Republican Party, refuses to investigate the president. It is their position that no matter what Bush does, whether it's lying to America about nuclear weapons, whether it's outing a CIA agent, you're committing treason at the highest standard, it should never be investigated. It's their belief, and if you elect them, I suppose it's your belief, that the White House doesn't need checks and balances. They trust George Bush. They think he always does the right thing. And they don't think that that pesky constitutional thing that Congress is supposed to do, such as investigate the president, should ever be done when it's a president of the same party. Well, just to give you a classic example, under Bill Clinton, the Republican Congress gave more than 1,000 subpoenas to national officials. They wanted to find out everything from Bill Clinton, not just who he's having sex with, but they wanted to know who controls the travel office. That's right. Which travel agent Bill and Hillary used was considered scandalous. And so they issued more than 1,000 subpoenas, forcing the Clinton administration to respond to more than 1,000 requests. Well, how many has this Congress sent to the current president on issues such as, did he know about September 11th before it occurred? Was he warned about it? Could he have stopped the murder of 3,000 Americans? Could he have prevented the great damage in Hurricane Katrina? Did the president and the vice president support treason in the White House? Did they lie about intelligence, specifically about nuclear weapons, to get us into a war that they'd already preordained? Interesting questions. Well, how many subpoenas has this Congress given the president of the United States? Not 1,000, not 500, not 100. Not quite 30, not really 10, not 5, not 3, not 1. Not a single one. No, this Congress believes the president should never be investigated. Period. Well, why can't the Democrats do something about it? Aren't you sick of those Democrats? Why aren't they investigating? The answer is they don't have the legal power to do it. So before you go out and complain about the Democrats, you need to understand that you cannot investigate the president, you cannot issue a subpoena, unless you have a majority in one House of Congress, either the House or the Senate. And as far as the House is concerned, the Democrats can never have a majority as long as the Republicans have drawn these crazy district lines, grouping all blacks together in ghettos and Latinos and all these places to get 90% of the votes for Democrats, so that the remaining districts get 60-40 for Republicans. If you ever doubt that the Republicans are playing tricks with gerrymandering lines, take a look at the district map of Florida. There's no state worse that is more gerrymandered than Florida. So why does today's election matter? Because in California and in Ohio, the voters get a chance to change the system. In Ohio, where you have a state that's hopelessly gerrymandered toward the Republicans, a state that you know is very close, Kerry may even have won it in 2004, the Republicans have 2/3 of the seats. They should have about half the seats. You know, it may be one difference because, you know, you can understand why sometimes people vote for the person over the party. I get that. But the way Ohio lines are drawn, it favors the Republicans. So actually, progressives put forth a ballot in Ohio that said, let's let judges draw the lines. The same thing the Republicans are putting up in California. But here's the problem. People don't get it. It's too confusing. It's too complicated. No one understands how voting to let judges determine district lines means you can't investigate treason in the White House. As I've explained, though, it is very important. And so if you're in Ohio, please go vote for the proposition number 4. But in California, you got to vote it down. And it's not just because, sure, I like to see the Democrats win, but because right now the lines are drawn in a way that favors the Republicans. I mean, indeed, part of the reason Tom DeLay got indicted is because he broke a rule that had existed for 200 years in America, which is that you only redraw these lines after a census every 10 years. He broke this unstated rule and said, no. As soon as we get power, we're going to redraw the lines and keep that power. And he used some illegal fundraising and money laundering to get it. He also, as you know, used the Department of Homeland Security to track down wayward Democrats. The way to do it is this. You have to do it on a nationwide basis. Nancy Pelosi, leader of the Democrats, couldn't even go out and campaign in Ohio to end the gerrymandering there, because in her own state of California, she didn't want Arnold Schwarzenegger to give the favor to the Republicans. Here's the answer, folks. You may hear it for the first time here. The Uniform Anti-Gerrymandering Law, which sure sounds like a mouthful. But the answer is, if they hit below the belt, you can hit below the belt. And if they don't, you don't. You say, all right, my state will stop gerrymandering the moment a majority of other states do the same. California will draw its lines according to judges as soon as Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania do the same. That way, we can all come together, Democrats, Republicans, Independents as one, and have fair elections. Also coming up, of course, the issue in elections, totally apart from the district lines, is the question of who should vote. Throughout this process, you find Republicans trying to make it harder for people to vote, and Democrats trying to make it easier. In fact, there was a recent bill struck down as unconstitutional in Georgia to require a picture ID. Now, what's the problem with a picture ID? I mean, you have to commit fraud. You have to try to stop fraud, excuse me. The Republicans are trying to commit fraud with their election machines. But why do you have to have this electoral ID? Well, the Republicans want it because the people who are least likely to have it are the poor folk who, 150,000 of whom in the latest race, tend to vote for the Democrats. So what is the solution? What is the proper balance between preventing fraud and allowing every American to vote? Should ex-felons have the right to vote? Should you have to pay to receive this picture ID? Should you have registration on the same day that you vote, or should it be 30 days ahead of time? If you move, should it be easy to vote? Should it be more difficult to vote? My contention is it should always be easy to vote, and we can prevent fraud. Toll free, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. When we come back, I want to talk about this Georgia law that's been struck down, because I think it really sets the standard nationwide for the next battle, not over the issues, but over who has a right to vote. We'll be right back after this.
They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, dental.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop right here on the Talkstar Radio Network. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. I do have a comment on the blog from Jeff in New Jersey, which, by the way, Jeff, if you haven't voted yet in New Jersey, you got 15 minutes, so I hope you voted already. But he asked if he heard me correctly, that I agree that the governor's, the governator, as he puts it, suggestion to allow judges to decide districts is a good idea on a national basis, but or a specific basis like Ohio, since it improves the Democrats. But why is it a bad choice in California? Well, Jeff, I think I explained this, but let me just try one last time. I think maybe I have a better analogy than the boxer or fighter's analogy. Let's say you're running a race, okay, and you're running a foot race, and your opponent jumps on a scooter. It's a 10-mile race, and your opponent gets 2 miles ahead in the race, okay? Then gets off the scooter and starts running again. And then your opponent says, then you start to get on a scooter, and the opponent says, no, you can't use a scooter. That's cheating. What do you say? Well, you'd have to agree that getting on a scooter is cheating, but your opponent is 2 miles ahead of you in the race. That's a problem. How do you deal with the fact that Pennsylvania and Florida and Texas and Colorado are all, and Ohio, are all gerrymandered in a way that helps Republicans in a really severe way? I mean, Florida, again, the classic example, a state that's 50-50 getting 11 more Republican seats, 18-7. Simply because they're drawing districts that go into the ocean for 200 miles. I don't think there are any voters that live in the ocean. I don't know. Maybe there are. I don't think the houseboats get a place to vote. So when they're already ahead in the race, the only answer is a national solution. Yeah, I support the Democrats getting on the scooter, not because it's right, but because it's a chance to catch up on the bad that's already been done to them. But the best solution, absolutely right, Jeff, is a national solution. Let judges nationwide decide electoral districts. How about a bill in Congress? If the Republicans like this idea so much, let's make it national. And before you start getting into states' rights, you know that the federal government can require all kinds of things. You can say, for example, you won't get any money under the Help America Vote Act unless you agree to let judges decide your districts. If it's such a good idea for California, Governor Schwarzenegger, how come the Republican Congress isn't sponsoring it nationwide? They're not, because it helps them. And everybody knows it. But thanks for your question, Jeff. Let me get back to the question, though, of who can vote and who should be able to vote. And there's always been a fight between the Republicans who are saying we have to protect against fraud. We have to make it difficult for people to vote. If you've committed a felony, you shouldn't vote. If you don't have a picture ID, you shouldn't vote. If you don't have your original birth certificate available, you shouldn't vote. If you don't have an address, the Republicans say that homeless people shouldn't have a right to vote. No address, no vote. No utility bill, no vote. Democrats tend to take the opposite answer. They, because those people who are poor and dispossessed tend to support the Democrats. And so what happened in Georgia just recently, there was a bill by the Republican Georgian legislature that said that everyone in Georgia has to have a picture ID to vote. And guess what? It costs $20. And where are you going to get this picture ID? Well, in several conveniently located places, but none of whom happen to be in the most populous city in Georgia, Atlanta. Atlanta happens to be a majority black city. There were plenty of places to get them out in the countryside, but oops, not available in Atlanta. If you live in Atlanta, you're just going to have to travel somewhere else. Can you imagine? I mean, Podunk, Georgia, you can get the right to vote, but you can't get in Atlanta? And how are they going to charge people $20 a head? There is a constitutional amendment that bans poll taxes. It's been around since the early 60s. Well, obviously, the courts found that it was unconstitutional. And a court of appeals with, by the way, two George Bush senior representatives and one Clinton-appointed judge unanimously said, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. You can't make it that difficult for people to vote. Now, what's wrong with a picture ID? You know what? I don't have a problem. If you can go in on Election Day and get your picture ID for no cost, and you want to do that to vote to prevent fraud, fine by me. But you can't charge people money. You can't tell people without cars that they have to go miles outside of their home. And you can't do it in a discriminatory fashion so that Atlanta can't vote, but the whites of the suburbs can. And yet this is what's going on here. And we also have the problem with ex-felons. Because of the drug laws in this country being so harsh on nonviolent drug criminals, you've got a large proportion of poor people, a large proportion of black people, black males, that have been to jail. Is that because blacks use drugs more than whites? No, I don't think it is. I think it's because police police black neighborhoods more than they do white neighborhoods. Most white kids in the suburbs that use drugs do so behind closed doors, whereas poor blacks in the ghetto, they have it out in the street. So they use the drugs, they go to jail, and they lose their right to vote. You know what? I think if it's a nonviolent, frankly, I think everyone should have a right to vote. But clearly, if it's a nonviolent crime, if you're a drug user, you need help. Stop taking away people's rights to vote. So this is always going to be a classic example. In fact, it's been an example throughout American history, right? You've always had progressive people wanting to expand the right to vote. Originally, there were just white Christian men with property that could vote, and then it was increased to white men without property, and then blacks, and then women. But you also find with the voting machines the exact same problem. You find the Republicans consistently supporting voting machines that don't prevent fraud. It's very easy. I was down there today. I was down helping in the election in Virginia, and I was watching the voting machines, and I went to vote. And the way you vote is you turn the knob, you choose your candidate, you push a button. There's no record that you know of your vote. For all you know, it's all organized in a certain way, and you don't know how it's counted, right? There's no way to know. And I talked to the guy, and he said, well, at the end of the day, they get a printout and they call it in. Well, what if software in the machines is adding votes for one side or the other? You have no way of knowing. The way to prevent this, of course, is to do a paper record. Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey, who, by the way, if Corzine wins the governorship, he may well appoint Rush Holt to be senator, which would be terrific. We might have a chance to get his bill passed. His bill is to have paper records of ballots. No, not a receipt that the voter gets. But when you vote, a paper record comes up. You can verify it if you like. You push a button to vote, and snap, the piece of paper goes, and there's a paper record, and it's kept in a box, and no one can question that your vote is and will be counted. This, by the way, doesn't cost much more than the other machines. Why would anyone be against fraud-proof voting? I don't know. You'll have to ask the Republican Party, because they won't allow the issue to even come up for a vote. One more issue that I want to talk about in the few minutes that remain after the break is the other issue that's up for election today on Election Day. In Texas, the issue of whether gay people should be allowed to get married. In Maine, they want to repeal a law to prevent discrimination against gays. Why is anti-gay prejudice the focus of Republicans in election season? That right after the break.
What some people are saying about your morning with Jim Harrington and friends.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. How are you? It's your pal, Porky, and you're listening to your forget it.
Everybody's a ham. Your morning with Jim Harrington and friends. Monday through Friday, right here.
Your morning, 6 to 10 Eastern Time on the Talkstar Radio Network.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series. 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RUFREE1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Why can't I get a monkey? Why can't you catch a whale with a worm?
Dad, can we go to the moon on vacation?
If you think it's tough answering these questions, imagine the ones you'll get if your child is diagnosed with cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
from Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've got just a few minutes left. I do want to respond quickly to a comment on the website by Jeff in New Jersey, who responds to my comment about Podunk, Georgia, saying it's offensive that I have offended the people of Podunk. Podunk's this made-up place, Jeff. I think you know that. Because he says, I'm saying that people outside of metropolitan areas are less smart. Never said that, Jeff. What I said is that if you're going to require a statewide ID system, how about putting it in the place where more people live instead of the place where less people live? If you've got metropolitan Atlanta with, 3 million people, and you got Podunk, Georgia, population 73, it seems to me that the people of Atlanta should have as much right to vote and as much access to this statewide ID system as the people of Podunk. I don't mean to attack the people of Podunk. I'm sure they're doing just fine. But I think the Republicans realize that the people of a small town in Georgia are far more likely to vote for them than the people of a big metropolitan area. And that's the problem. When you don't have voting ID, if you want state ID and you don't have the chance to get an ID in Atlanta, and you do in a small town, that's clearly unfair, and it doesn't even make sense logically. Obviously, if you had one place in all of Georgia where you had should have a chance to get the ID, it would be in the state capital, the largest city of Atlanta. I do want to briefly talk about, though, before we close, the other two main propositions that are going on. There's one in Texas, a constitutional amendment to ban gay people from marrying each other. They don't need a constitutional amendment in Texas. They already have a law against it, but they really want to attack hard. And then in Maine, you have a law that would repeal other laws protecting gay people from discrimination. You see, the voters of Maine have decided that you shouldn't discriminate on the basis of race, religion, sexual orientation. But now conservatives in Maine say, no, we want to discriminate. We want prejudice. Vote for prejudice, they're saying. You got to have the right to fire someone because they're gay. You have to have the right to say, you know what, I'm sorry, you cannot work here flipping burgers or whatever it is. At the Maine, it's lobster fishermen. I'm sorry, we can't have you as a lobster fisherman because of what you do, you know, behind closed doors. The question is not whether any of these make any sense. I don't understand prejudice. I've never understood prejudice. And why people would vote for prejudice is beyond me. The question is, why anti-gay prejudice? Well, you might argue, well, it's the Christian right. It's fundamentalist. You know, Christianity hates gays. But that's not true. Read the New Testament. Jesus doesn't mention homosexuality once. Not even sodomites. No, Jesus is against divorce. Adultery is against the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's one of the top ten, folks. Adultery is against the Ten Commandments. And Jesus specifically says no divorce. Whatever God has put together, let no man put asunder. So why aren't Christian fundamentalists going out and saying, I'm sorry, if you have divorced, you can't remarry. Marriage shall be between an unmarried man and an unmarried woman. No divorcees. Adultery, put them in prison. Or discriminate. You should have a right to fire a lobster fisherman if he commits adultery. It's a violation of the Ten Commandments. Does that make any sense to me? No, it doesn't. But it's certainly consistent with Christian ideology. Why aren't they doing that? Because we got a lot of divorcees and adulterers out there, folks. Because they're not the minority that gay people are. You see,